that becomes a struggle for survival.
You know what I'm saying? He's going out there, he's paying them hoes, and he's getting residuals back off the hoes' pussy.
Remember, a pimp is only as good as his product. See? And his product is women.
There's no telling my kids that we can't eat. I'm not taking no, because my babies don't deserve that. Nobody kids should go hungry down here in Georgia.
Anybody can control a woman's body, see? But the key is to control her mind. You see, pimping's big business. And it's been going on since the beginning of time.
This is Downtown Music.
Downtown.
Check 1, 2, here we go once again, man. The beatings will begin. The floggings will continue. Oh, my God. Yeah, right about now, we've got special guests, of course, the co-host. We are not doing it on the phone right now. He is in-house. We are doing this joint live. Yes, nigga, Fusious is back again, man. We're going to chime in on just the whole concept of leadership, and we also going to talk about our boy, that's right, Donald Trump today. Yeah, we're going to get a little political. So go ahead, grab your popcorn, man. Grab a seat and enjoy the festivities, man. Because, boy, there seems to be a lot of coons out there, Tony. There seems to be a lot of coons out there that, for some reason, man, they're gravitating towards Trump. Can you explain this?
Yeah, Willie, they're going to be busy as fuck.
Willie,
Charles Barkley ain't the only person he going to have to body. Because initially when they was talking about he's a joke, I'm like, no, he's not a joke.
Right.
Because he can win.
Right.
It's a lot of people upset for various reasons. Some of that shit's good. Some of that shit is not so good. But they're very upset. Mm-hmm. And some people have reason to be, some people don't. But whenever people get upset, shit happens. Mm-hmm. And it's going to go really, really bad for these bitches. Imagine, if you will, a world where the side trickster is king of all black skillets. Mm-hmm. You imagine that?
Oh, yes, I can imagine.
You imagine that?
I can imagine.
Mm. Because here's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give everybody a quick lesson in economics.
Okay.
Now, you've been taught all these things about what the president does. That's what he does in the light of day.
Right.
In reality, what the president does, he's a business agent in Congress for the military-industrial complex, its Wall Street allies, mm-hmm. and all of the various special interests.
Right.
Okay? So we're talking about, if you're talking about government, politics, you're talking about money and power. Mm. The three biggest expenditures in government, okay, three biggest budgets, the military expenditures,
mm-hmm.
corporate subsidies, and entitlements.
Right.
Now, those budgets, they're talking about trimming. Either one of those three has to be trimmed. Do you really think they're going to touch them white folks' money?
Hell no.
Do you really think they're going to touch the military-industrial complex's money?
No.
So it ain't but one place left to go, and that's the entitlements.
Mm-mm-mm.
What that means is your AFDC, your food stamps, your WIC programs. Oh, yeah, and all you bitches that got anger problems that's on SSI. It's over for you. It's over for you.
Wow, man.
It's over for you. So when, and here's how you cut those programs. A semblance of them will be left in place, but it won't be enough.
Right.
See, man, you bullshit about hood rat survival, $40 hood rat survival packs. That shit gonna go down to $25, cuz. Because that's the first thing that they're going to touch. Mm-hmm. They ain't going to touch the military's money.
Right.
They ain't going to touch Wall Street's money. They're going to touch your money.
Mm-hmm.
See, for us so-called beta male niggas.
Right.
Donald Trump is a gift. He's a godsend. Because you know why? For people that are creative,
right,
people that are imaginative, people that are innovative and intelligent, they're not concerned about what happens because they know how to make their living by their own wits.
Right.
So all you motherfuckers that's on assistance, all you bitches that's on assistance,
mm-hmm,
your baby daddy can't help you. He can't help you. And I'll explain why in just a minute. The people that are on assistance, these like I said, these SSI programs, that WIC, that AF. You remember what happened when they cut them food stamps? Them motherfuckers went crazy.
Right.
When they ATM cards, food stamp cards didn't work?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how the motherfuckers freaked out? They flipped out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first thing that they're going to touch is going to be you. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? You and them niggas that you procreated all them hell spawns with. Y'all ass out. Y'all up the creek.
Right.
Because while everybody has talked about mass incarceration, nobody has a plan to stop it.
Right.
A lot of people have talked about that shit, but there's no program to put in play to stop it. And as much as I have, as much respect as I have for Boyce Watkins,
mm-hmm,
that Black Economic Foundation he's talking about, that shit is going to take 30 years to have a self-sustaining Black community.
Okay.
And that has no relevance to the Black bitch who DP&L going to be cut off tomorrow. So guess who you're going to have to come see?
The fat tricks with money.
The fat tricks with money.
Hey, see, there's a science to this shit, man. You know, it's like, you know, me and you, we just not average niggas, man. You know, we look at political posturing and we look at political forecasts to basically come to a decision about how our longevity will be in the game with bitches. And, you know, it's like, damn, we look at the federal level, we look at the state level as far as policies are concerned, you know, with legislation and shit. And it really, man, it all depends on who get in office sometime, how strong our game is. So it's like, man, if Trump get in office, nigga, do you know? I mean, I can't see him getting in office and not just having a scorched earth policy of just getting rid of, like, entitlements, man. I can't see him not doing it, just him being just that ruthless, cutthroat sort of businessman he is. Because, you know, to survive in business, you got to be ruthless. You know what I mean? So I'm expecting some ruthless-ass shit to come down, and I'm expecting the bitches to bow down to the fat tricks with money, man. That's what I'm talking about. Now, can you speak to this? Have you ever seen or heard Trump do anything racist?
That's some questionable shit, but yeah, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen him call anybody the N-word.
Right.
It's his policies. You can clearly see his policies are rooted towards rich white people.
Okay.
That's obvious, but I don't give a fuck about that.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you the same thing Louis Farrakhan said to Donahue.
Right.
He said Ronald Reagan was a gift to Black people.
Okay.
And you know why he said it? He said it because that means niggas will get up off their ass and do something for themselves and stop being dependent on handouts from white liberals.
Mm.
You lost your fucking mind when you thought these white people were going to help you in an economy based on profit and competition. No, they were not going to help you. The programs that they enacted was just enough for them to steal and get pensions while you maintain yourself and your family on the system for the next 50 fucking years. Joe Clark is right. The era of the permanent underclass is here, and with it, the era of the fat tricks with money. Like it or not, that's what it is, and that's what it's going to be. So, I don't give a fuck if you butthurt about it. It's the new reality. And guess what? Everybody's paying. You come into our realm because you ain't going to be able to help them bitches. Mm. And it's only so long they're going to fuck you for free. So guess what? You're going to have to come out your pocket too. We will accept your terms of endearment for being 10 years ahead of the curve. Yes, the era of the power trick will become mainstream. It will become as accessible as a glass of fucking water. Yes, you will be paying too. Welcome to the brotherhood. You will become one of us whether you like it or not. You lost your fucking mind in the 60s and 70s when you thought these people's handouts and their generosity was going to extend forever. No, it was weakening you. Because think about it. as much time as they spent at that goddamn job center down there on Edward C. Moses.
Man.
They could have spent that time working at Burger King and made more fucking money.
Right.
No, but because you wanted the layups, you wanted that assistance, and you kept fucking these niggas, and you kept letting them skeet up, and you produce these children, and they're going to prison, and destabilizing the home, now you're in a position where you have to prostitute. Matter of fact, prostitution is going to turn these duplicitous hoes into honest bitches. You're going to honestly prostitute because there will be no way to hide it anymore. You won't be able to get by on those SSI programs. You won't be able to get by on WIC or AFDC and cash assistance because all that shit is going to be cut. So you're going to need a new welfare system, and we will be signing you up with a smile.
But Tony, he's racist, man. He's racist. We can't be happy that a racist get in office.
Nigga, please. In Alabama, you know, George Wallace was the motherfucker that stood in the schoolhouse door and said, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
Right.
You know, niggas put him back in office for the next 40 years. And then when there was a provision in the Alabama Constitution that said he could not be governor consistently, they elected his motherfucking wife, and she knew shit about politics.
Right.
So don't tell me about how niggas don't like racist politicians. That's bullshit. Niggas always vote for racist politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Always vote. You think Bill Clinton love you?
Yeah, Bill Clinton loved me. He played the saxophone and smoked weed, but he didn't in the air.
Oh, and listens to a little Aretha Franklin and turned around and locked up all them niggas under that crime bill to cut back your assistance. Me personally, I love Bill Clinton because he was the best power trick ever.
Mm.
You know what the problem is?
What's
America's
up?
A power trick. And now you know you're going to say these niggas are gone crazy with that power trick. They're going to start raving mad with that power trick shit. No, it was the normal world that drove us stark raving mad. Power tricking brings a degree of sanity.
Man.
No, we're not the ones that are mad. You niggas are mad. And you have to get used to the new order of things. Because one of the fat tricks will be fucking your bitches. And just be happy that it won't be the side trickster. Or maybe it will be the side trickster. You see what I'm saying? Because what that's going to do, that's called a market correction.
Okay.
A market correction. Shit has been out of whack. The
right.
stupid have been reproducing.
Right.
The stupid have enjoyed the fruits of everyone else's labor.
Right.
And now that's going away. And your thug nigga alpha males, your lower primate homo sapien alpha males, they're locked in and they can't get out. And you're locked out and you can't get in. Because you know what? Once they lock them up, they're now privatizing prisons. They're talking about mass incarceration.
Right.
But nobody has a plan. But on the other end, ain't nobody talking shit about the privatization of prisons. Prisons being purchased and constructed and created by private interests and corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is they're criminalizing debt. Right under your fucking nose. They're criminalizing debt. So when your niggas go to jail on these drug offenses, they won't be getting out. Because guess what? The uniforms cost money. The shoes cost money. The commissary costs money. You don't have the money for those phone calls, do you? You don't have the money for that commissary all the time. Hell, because you on SSI. SSI only going to stretch for so long. So I want to say to the alpha male thug niggas ahead of time, you're welcome. Because we will be able to sustain you in prison. Your bitches won't. The unfortunate thing is they will be bending over for us, whether you like it or not.
Oh, man, boy. The thing is, I get these niggas whining. You know, niggas is real emotional, man. Y'all come fuck around with Mac City, man. This is a manhood zone, man. Ain't no room for whining and crying and just pure emotionalism, man. So it's like you got niggas on one end that'll be really all up in arms because I say I'm going to vote for Trump, right? But then again, also, like I said, they're the same ones that'll give Bill Clinton or the Clintons their props and shit, you know what I'm saying? And not even, they're just being totally oblivious to the fact that, you know, the Clintons didn't love you, you know what I'm saying? It's like, why are you giving the Clintons all their props? Because they're basically masquerading and they're hiding their propensity to be racist. But you got a Donald Trump who, actually, I've never seen him utter a racist word. I've just seen him just be a smart, shrewd businessman. And this is the one thing that perplexes me. When you have these Trump rallies, and then you go, and see who's at the Trump rallies, you see all these black folks kicking up dust, kicking up ruckus. And I'm trying to figure out why they're doing that, because I've never heard him say jack shit about black people for the most part. It's just mostly illegal aliens.
Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Trump has picked up game.
Right.
He's picked up the Democratic Party's playbook.
Okay.
The Democratic Party scares niggas into voting for him.
Right.
Oh, this big bad Republican is coming. He's gonna touch your entitlement programs.
Right.
He's gonna touch this. He's gonna touch that. He's gonna cut this. They use the Republicans as the boogeyman.
Right.
Trump is doing it in the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling to the white people, look at all these niggas out of pocket out here.
Right.
Look at all the, and all of that shit is not spontaneous.
Okay.
I think some of that shit is planned.
Okay.
I think some of that shit is staged. Mm-hmm. It is a dog whistle to what they call the silent majority, that white working class that is against the interests of the black underclass,
mm-hmm.
you see. So he'll energize and get them to the polls. So he's using the Black Lives Matter people as a boogeyman to get them to the polls.
Ah, okay.
Just like the Democrats use the Republicans to get the black people to the polls.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I think it is.
Right.
Now, with that being said, I've never heard him. Matter of fact, I would say Donald Trump is an honorary nigga because all the rappers love him.
Mm-hmm.
All the he's cool with all the rappers. P. Diddy,
right.
Jigga,
right.
All Ludacris, Ice-T, all of them love that motherfucker.
Right.
And guess what? He gonna siphon off some of them black votes.
Mm.
He's gonna. That's why I say he can win.
Okay.
It's very possible you will be confronted with a Donald Trump presidency. That's very possible.
Mm.
And I myself, I will welcome it. Because again, Donald Trump is not a curse to me. Donald Trump is a gift. He is a godsend.
Hey, no, man, shit. You know, and also, because you mentioned Farrakhan, right? And I believe that, Malcolm X said something along the same vein, too. I don't know, was he talking about the conservative versus the liberals? What did Malcolm X say about that?
Malcolm X said you need to solve your own problem and stop waiting on the generosity of white liberals. Mm. He said the same shit. You lost your fucking mind if you think that these white liberals are going to help you solve your problem. You have to solve your problem. And because you haven't solved your problem, it's a hell of a mess going on. And another thing I like about the Trump president, mm-hmm. all this ratchet shit is gone. All this ratchet shit is gone. These bitches going to get in line, and they will be humbled beyond belief.
Mm.
They get mad, have nerve to get mad because somebody see them on the internet. You're going to wish, you're going to long for the day somebody did see you on the internet. Because what's going to happen is, you ain't going to have no other way. How you going to make money when you semi-literate?
Right.
You don't have any skill.
Right.
You can't do shit but fuck.
Right.
So, what else would you be doing?
Mm.
How else will you make money?
Mm.
You're welcome in advance.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. It's like, you know, you got a chick mad at me, you know, because I basically put, you know, I've got this question a lot. Man, it's kind of like off the beaten path a little bit. But I've had questions. People always ask me, you know, when I got to the game, like I said, in 2003. And fast forward to today, they always ask me, what would I do different? One of the things I would do different is wouldn't get so close to the bitches. And number two, I wouldn't have been so generous. I wouldn't have been so kind, so to speak. Because one thing I learned about females in general, right, is that they don't really give two fucks about what you did a year ago. They don't give a fuck what you did a month ago. They don't give a fuck what you did a week ago as far as being generous and helping them out.
What you did an hour ago.
Yeah, don't give a fuck. What, only thing that matters is the here and the now. So you can bust your ass. You can do all sorts of slick, fly shit for them. Pay all sorts of bills. Feed the kids. Whatever. But man, when it comes to right here, right now, man, them bitches will throw you up under the bus, man.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a fuck what you did. And that's just proof positive with the bitches that spit venom on me.
And say you ain't did nothing.
And say I ain't did shit for nothing. A bit. I'm like, what?
You can't bring her something since you over here making all of that money. And don't threaten. And you, this how you know a bitch mad. She threatened to go to the police. And not just the police, the FBI.
man.
You want to bring federal charges against me because you had to suck a dick to keep your lights on. And what kind of sense does that make?
Man, I'm trying to tell you, boy. Yeah, I'm not understanding it, man, but just... It would be a welcome sight, man, to just have sanity restored to the universe, man, to have everything fall into place the way it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? Where people who actually put in work and people who actually have something to contribute to society, you know, get the spoils. You know what I mean? And people that's just sucking on the government's tit and got their hand out, shit, bitch, get in line. You know what I'm saying? Get in line and wait for your crumbs. You know what I'm saying? Shit, I'm down with that, man. I'm all about that shit.
I'll let Archie Bunker say it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't need no welfare state. Everybody pulled his way. Those were the days. And they will be the days again.
Man, oh man, boy. Yeah, I'm like, when I look at them Trump rallies and shit, man, I'm like, why is all these niggas going to the Trump rallies acting an ass when I haven't heard Trump say jack shit about no niggas, man? It's just him talking about... And this makes sense. It's like, no, we shouldn't have illegal immigrants coming into the country basically busting our economy wide the fuck open. It's a drain on goddamn society. Are you familiar with the whole Cloward and Piven... strategy to implement like revolution within society to basically just overload a system with all sorts of debt to the point where that system just implodes and then you can come in and you can implement your own system?
Yes.
You know, and so basically that's what seems to be going on with the oligarchs. They're purposely flooding the country with illegal immigrants trying to basically implode the economy with all this welfare shit and all this entitlement shit. And Trump was like, hey, you know, we can't be doing that shit. But people are, I don't know, when I look at the media, this one thing that really makes me know that the establishment really don't want him up in that piece, man, is all they doing is demonizing him. And they're misrepresenting what he was saying. They're saying he doesn't want immigrants. But he's saying, no, I don't want illegal immigrants. You know, and then you got niggas going into the Trump rally starting shit. And I believe that anybody that goes to any sort of rally, be you white or black, you start shit, you deserve to get your ass beat. You know what I mean? Granted, yeah, the police are not assaulting the white people that's doing the assaults on the black folks. I fully recognize that. But, you know, that's not even the point to me. The point is you're going into a rally starting shit for no goddamn reason. He ain't say shit about you. He talking about illegal immigrants. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, would the Hispanics do that shit if it was reversed? You know, if he was actually talking cash shit about black folks, would the Hispanics go out in force and they would harass Trump? Do you think they'd do that?
Hell no.
See, it's always niggas doing that shit. You know, niggas always champion the causes of everybody else.
Well, hey, you know what? You said something key.
Mm-hmm.
You said the police ain't doing nothing to the white. What are the police telling you? They're telling you they in league with the man. If they sitting there watching you get your ass beat,
mm-hmm.
They telling you they are down with him. They are in lockstep with his policies.
Mm.
What is going to happen is this. If you don't have a Trump presidency, you're going to have a Trump presidency.
Mm.
As far as an underclass is concerned. Because again, your entitlement programs are gone. And here's why. What rich people like more than anything else is more money.
Right.
I'm going to give you an example of that at the state level.
Right.
The state has a program, the entitlement program.
Mm-hmm.
The Minority Business Development Center, think about that, Minority Development Business Center.
Mm-hmm.
Misleading ass label, but anyway. So what it is they said, well, this is to help black businesses. Now, you got to understand, whenever they set up a department or a division, that division is funded millions of dollars. They took money from somewhere to put over here. That mm-hmm. money came, it didn't just pop up. It's tax money. It may be money from gasoline tax. It may be money from property tax, from wherever. Okay. Federal grant money, wherever. They took that money from somewhere to establish a program for minorities.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is, rich people are smart. They underfund and understaff these programs. And then they enclose provisions in there. Well, you ain't gonna qualify that for that shit, no way. Here's how it works. You got this minority program. It's to help contractors get into the game so that they can get some of the money so that they can bid from these projects.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in order to be able to bid for these projects, you got to be able to get bonded. Well, in order to get bonded, you got to have good credit.
Okay.
That knocks 85% of the niggas out the ballpark right there.
All
right. You see what I'm saying? So if the niggas can't get the money to get bonded, they can't bid on the projects. And if they can't bid on the projects, there's no purpose for that office.
Okay.
And if there's no purpose for that office, what you gonna do with the money?
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So now they come back in and say, that money that you spent in that little poverty pimp program for minorities, it did not work. They did not qualify. Now give us that money back. The elite, the people that are making money. We want that money back in corporate subsidies. We want that money back in tax write-offs. We want this money put in place to offset, essentially, when we have a fucked up business year.
Mm.
And that's how subsidies and bailouts work. So they want that money back because it helps them or it prevents them from losing their ass in any particular industry or market.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they're going to get rid of the program anyway. So if you're talking about these entitlement programs, now look at what they're going to say. But look at what you got with these entitlement programs. You got an underclass of people who are uneducable.
Mm-hmm.
Their dropout rates are astronomical.
Right.
You see, a large percentage of them are represented in the prison industrial complex. You see, mm-hmm. So now give us this money. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So when the president comes in, he's a money manager over those budgets. Do you think he's going to cut the military's budget?
Mm-hmm.
Hell no. You think he's going to cut Wall Street's budgets? Hell no.
Mm.
If anything, the first people he's going to go for is your SSI programs or your entitlement programs, your Social Security programs. So, I mean, I feel sorry for you, but...
But do you really think that would happen? Because we know about the system which is put in place to help foster dependency mm-hmm. and to help create and breed, you know, criminal-ass, ridiculously savage niggas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So if Trump were to actually do that, do you think that would actually throw a monkey wrench into that plan?
Nope.
You don't think it would?
He wouldn't get rid of the programs. He would just cut them. He would cut the funding for them.
Right.
You keep the programs. You don't kill the programs.
Mm-hmm.
You just cut the funding.
Right.
Trim the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would do it, one, because it would help the business class. He's a pro-business president.
Right.
It will help the business class.
Mm-hmm.
But the business class can now turn around and employ people for low wages. You see what I'm saying? It's a perpetuated system.
Mm-hmm.
Low wages, high profit. Low wages, high profit. Low wages. Because they're going to need something to supplement those entitlement programs.
Right.
You can't live off that shit. That's why I said that $40 survival pack that we used mm-hmm. for is down to $25 now.
Mm.
Because you're not going to be able to live off that shit. You're just not going to be able to make it. So what they'll do is they'll come around with low-paying jobs, with no benefits, with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And what they'll do is they'll get you to work for $9.50, $8.50, whatever it is, to supplement. They're going to turn those entitlement programs into merit-based programs. And you know some of the bitches ain't going to do that shit.
Right.
You know some of them ain't going to do that shit.
They'd rather lay on their back. They'd rather lay on their back and get that money. Shit.
So that adds up to a ringing phone.
Shit. Well, tell me this. Do you think that Obama, shit, do you think that Trump is in league with the power structure? Or do you think that the power structure genuinely doesn't like him, doesn't want him in office?
See, because affairs cost money. There ain't no woman coming giving you nothing. For nothing. Did I say something wrong? Now, those of you who play a lot, you have to learn to pay a lot. That might stop you from playing a lot, because I don't know no woman that will give you pleasure for free for a long time. Maybe the first day or two or three or four, maybe more. But then she's going to tell you, honey, you know, my car note is due. In other words, you ain't getting nothing. You got to come up with something. My car note is due. I miss my rent. And I can't invite you to the bedroom if I can't have a house to invite you to. So can you help me with my rent? Now the pleasure has worn off. Yeah. Now he got to go home to his family, you know, shortchange his wife. Children need shoes. Wife needs something. But you've given the money for your family to somebody else for a moment of pleasure. See, conscience, when you're awakened, tells you, man, I could have some money in my pocket if I didn't have so many outside interests. Now, what has that got to do with business and warfare? See, the activity of life, this is what business is. The first four letters, B-U-S-I. The I is interchangeable with Y. Busy. When you're doing nothing, you're not alive. A busy person has to be busy doing something that nature requires. Nature requires every living thing to do something for itself. It may be a worm, but it ain't looking to another worm. Hey, you got anything for me? Look how silly you look. Big grown man or woman at Tennessee State, working on a degree and then going out begging somebody. You got a job for me? Suppose he told you, no, I ain't got no job for you. What you gonna do then? How are you gonna make a job for yourself? See, if this is what you come to Tennessee State for, to get education, to go out and beg the white man for a job, you in bad shape, brother and sister, because he don't have enough jobs for his millions of unemployed, and history says he will look out for himself first if you get a shake at all. So college has to prepare you for the reality of life, or these are plantations. Yes, sir. That's right. Business is warfare. You know, beloved brothers and sisters, when you start realizing the value of knowledge and how knowledge separates man from beast, then the search for and the acquisition of knowledge is what the battle of life is all about. When you come into this world, you come in knowing nothing, but there's an insatiable curiosity to know about this thing that we were given birth into. It's a huge book that you were born into. Now you come to college, you buy books. And I know your professors or whoever wrote the book, they're considered scholars. So you learn to quote what some scholar said. You're not trained to think and look deeply into what people say. So when you come out to hear Farrakhan, you know you're looking deep now. I wish you had questioned white folk like that, because you would not have been made the fool that we may have been made into today if you learn how to question what people tell you. Where did you come from? Who found you? Were you swinging in Africa with a bone in your nose? What kind of people were you before John Hawkins tricked us out of Africa and brought us on a westerly course? What kind of people were you? See, if you don't know what was, you can't appreciate what is, and you're not prepared for what is yet to come. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, when you go out in search for knowledge, you're in the path of God until you return. Because when you go out in search of knowledge, you never come back. Because there's so much knowledge out here in this vast creation of the almighty and wise God, that when you start searching, you keep finding, peeling it back more and more and more. Look at what's written in the Holy Quran. That's the book of scripture of Muslims. I'll be in and out of the Bible and the Holy Quran, you know, because both books have something of value to say to us. Listen to these words. If all the trees were as pens, and all of the seas with seven more seas added to it were ink, you could never exhaust the words of Allah God. And everything that he created is a word. How many words do you know? See, when you just look at your vocabulary, we know you're short on words. That's why every word, you know, there's a cuss somewhere. Because you can't describe what you're really feeling. So you say, tell me. That, you expressing yourself. But knowledge is supposed to inform you of the things that God has created. Now look at this. He says in everything that he created, there's a lesson for man and woman if they would be mindful. How many of you have seen a worm and look at it, either walk around it, step on it, keep going. You didn't know what was in that worm. It's crawling, but it's your teacher. It's wiser than the professor that you're listening to, because that is a creature from God with a lesson in it for man, if man would understand. But we too busy looking up and miss what's on the ground. So the Bible says, hey, O thou sluggard, study the way of the ant and become, what's the next word? What? Wise. You mean if I studied an ant, I could become wise? The Jewish people are wise. I have never met a foolish Jew. I'm sure there are some, but I have never met one. Why are they wise? Because they study what the prophets open their eyes to. Do you know that the ant is such a tremendous creature that it is on every continent except the North Pole and South Pole? How did the ants get there? They crossed the ocean. How did they do that? Check them out. See, you living in Nashville or whatever little burg you live in, and you hardly leave your city. But you can't go in no continent and not find an ant. How did they get there? And you can't go nowhere on the earth and you will not find a Jewish presence. Ah, business is warfare. Look at what I'm about.
Look at what I'm about to say.
Flavor.
through your veins. Wanna waste your next release date? Dog in my name. You breathe it, I hear it, come back and burn you on the spot. Or not on my side in case you wanna beef a lot. No challenge is small, don't let me give it my all. You will have ruined your own dream. Yeah, take a fall. I take it and break it and make you a mystery cheat. Have a wonder what keeps hitting my stage underneath. No freedom, I beat up and eat them just like my lunch. But of course, there's a big mouth. My cold just crunch. Cause the poet will blow it and kick it just like this. Try to hit but don't miss, cause I'll be throwing the fit. You can tell I get rough, call your bluff in a set. Try to step, and can step on, step back when it's my check. Shooting the gift while others ripping the dream. You can face if you want, but I'm letting off.
I don't think he's against them. I don't necessarily say he's in league with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's against them. It's one of these things that's like this.
Well, not necessarily him against them, more so them against him, because all the Republicans, from what I see on TV, don't like Trump.
That's a dog and pony show. Right. That shit you see it on television.
Well, wait, that's why I'm asking you. I'm like, do you think that's a real scenario, or do you think that's just... I think it's theater.
I think he's an imperial president.
Right.
And the nice thing about imperialism is there's zero tolerance for ratchetness.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? They want their guns, they want their money, and they want bitches in check.
Mm-hmm.
That Sharia law you was talking about?
Right.
This is American-style Sharia law. Now, with respect to your question, no, he's not in league with them, and mm-hmm. they're not in league with him, but they have... mutual interests.
Mm-hmm.
I put it to you that way. Because Trump isn't in favor of entitlement programs either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Trump likes a huge military too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like what someone said about Harry Truman when the decision came to drop the bomb on Japan. It wasn't that he said yes so much as he didn't say no.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So it's not a question of are they against him. Both of them have mutual interests. All of them have mutual interests. They have mutual, just like the blacks, the pro-black niggas,
mm-hmm.
and the white separatists. They have, it looks as though they're diametrically opposed, but they have mutual fucking interests,
mm-hmm.
you see. So I could have a mutual interest with you and not necessarily be in your pocket. We may work together in this aspect, but we may clash elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But all in all, we still have the same interests. We still have the same thing. And the same thing is the pursuit towards the bottom line, which is profit,
mm-hmm.
period. All that other shit is blibbly. White folks understand that. They don't give a fuck what their differences are. You can have some white people that are wealthy that are in favor of solar energy.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But I guarantee you, they ain't finna stop big oil
right.
from implementing whatever policy they want. You see,
mm-hmm.
so the answer to your question is no, he's not in league with them,
mm-hmm.
but they have mutual interests.
Mm-hmm.
But they, to a certain extent, I think they're afraid of him because they don't know what he's going to do.
Exactly.
They don't know which way he's cut, which side he's going to come. Okay, how much are we going to have to spank this nigga?
Mm-hmm.
Because the last person that thought that he could control the military and Wall Street,
JFK,
they put him in a car and blew his fucking brains out in broad daylight.
Right.
That's the last person who thought that he was going to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when all this shit about hope and change came in, when Barack Obama was elected and he came and he started talking about changes come to America, them white folks, they put them two little Salahis, the two little white folks, and let them, they slipped past a Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
They slip past the FBI and Secret Service. They right there, you unprotected in the White House with these two people here. They telling you, nigga, we can get you anytime.
Mm-hmm.
You better calm down. Mm-hmm. You see. So the question with Trump is okay, which way is he going to go? What position does he play with respect to our interests?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to come after us? So a portion of that segment says, well, he's from wealth and privilege. So he's not going to cross his own class.
Exactly.
You see what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And the segment I'm saying, well, I want to do this and I want to expand. Well, that may conflict with his interests, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to go against his own group of people, his own aristocracy.
Right. And basically, like, what do you tell niggas out there that's so bent on voting Democrat and so bent on being scared to fuck with the Republicans or whatever, man. Because once again, we go back to Malcolm X and how he was basically saying, you know, the Democratic Party is, man, they in cahoots with a so-called white supremacy. You know what I'm saying?
Or he said the liberals. The Dixiecrat, the Democrats are Dixiecrat.
Right.
He said anytime you walk around devoting yourself to a political party and they bring up everybody but you, not only are you a chump, but you're a traitor to your race.
Mm. But that would make Malcolm a coon.
A coon. So I guess he would be on Willie D's radar too, right?
I guess he would be a coon, man. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, with me and you, once again, shout out to my boy Rick Nasty, because we basically kind of like getting into this because we're talking about leadership and he wanted us to expound on leadership and shit. And like me and Tony, you know, not to toot our own horns, but we are the epitome of leadership without necessarily being a black leader, because we ain't never going to sign up for that shit. But it's a situation where I remember coming up as a child, man. I remember sitting around a table where all my, you know, family was sitting around praying to God, right? And I was the only one that didn't bow my head because I was like, who is this God character? You know what I'm saying? You know, I can remember this vividly when I was like 9, 10 years old. I can remember vividly being in school, having all the kids in the classroom just totally disrespecting and acting out of pocket towards the substitute teacher. I was the only one that would get up and help the substitute teacher and try and help them have a good day. You know what I'm saying? Knowing damn well I could probably get my ass kicked at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying?
Sure wasn't going to get no
bitches. That's right. Wasn't going to get no bitches doing that shit. I remember vividly all niggas running around talking about, look at my Jordans and look at my starter jacket, look at my hat. I was perfectly content to wear my Pro Wings and my Zips. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Z.
My Lee jeans or whatever. You know, I was always the type of cat. I didn't give a fuck what the next nigga was doing. I was going to do me. You know what I mean? So, you know, when y'all sitting here and y'all listen to us do this shit, man, and, you know, we say a lot of shit that may be out of pocket to y'all, it's because, nigga, we leaders, man. We don't give a fuck what y'all niggas is talking about. We going to say what's on our mind, you know, and you can goddamn take it or leave it. It's irrelevant to us and shit. So it's just like, you know, we talking about Malcolm X, you know, niggas labeling us coons for the shit we spitting, but then still one of the most prolific pro-black cats ever in history says the exact same shit that we say.
Malcolm X said that, here's what he told black people to do.
Right.
He told black people to get registered. He said, do not get registered as Democrats, nor do you get registered as Republicans. You get registered as independents. And you make them vie for your political support.
Exactly.
You remain independent.
Mm-hmm.
You remain independent. That's where your power. What does the 48 laws of power say? Don't commit to anyone.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. And that's what these niggas is doing with, oh man, we're going to vote Hillary. We're going to vote Democrat. We're going to vote Trump. He's Republican. He racist. It's like, God damn, man. Y'all niggas, y'all so far behind the game, it ain't funny, man.
And the reason they do that is because they have, the reason you do shit like that is because of this. You have nothing else to offer but your vote.
Right.
It's just like these bitches. It's just like these bitches.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, the black community is a ratchet hole.
Exactly.
They have nothing to offer but pussy.
Right.
You come in here with debt with these goddamn kids, with all these fucking problems. You come in here with your instability and all your fucking baggage and issues, and you think that your pussy is supposed to be the answer for everything. No, it isn't.
Right.
So if you're talking about politics, well, you don't have any economic clout. You don't have any feudal or military power. So the only thing you got is your vote, and you think your vote is supposed to make these people do everything you want, not when they're being paid for by Monsanto, not when they're being paid for by Philip Morris, not when they're being paid for by the sugar industry, not when they're being paid for by the tobacco industry. It's just not going to happen. These people are not going to kowtow just because you have that raggedy-ass pussy vote that you only exercise every 4 years in presidential elections. You don't do shit. We don't turn out in state elections.
Right.
We don't turn out in state. We don't.
Okay.
We don't turn out in state elections. So why would they care? Okay, we know you're going to come up, you want a power trick with us. Okay, you want a power, you want to, we'll trick with you. We'll trick with you every 4 years.
Hmm.
On our terms, you're going to trick with us every 4 years, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to get all your athletes, and you're going to get all your entertainers, and you're going to get all your radio disc jockeys behind us. They're going to give us time on the air, on the radio. You're going to bring us on your internet radio programs. We're going to go on The Breakfast Club, and we're going to go on Hot 97. All you going to trick with us? Well, okay, yeah, we'll trick with you. We'll trick. You want to sell us some pussy? You want to sell us that rotten-ass pussy? Yeah, okay, we'll fuck. We'll fuck you. You begging us to fuck you. Okay, so we'll fuck you. We're going to trick with you. But here's what we want in return.
Right.
Here's what we want. Now, for the next 4 years, we'll call you. You're not going to, don't call us. Mm. We'll call you. And we're not going to even call you. So you're going to call us.
Right.
You see? Because you're going to need something.
Mm-hmm.
We know you're going to need money for your communities. Mm. We know you're going to need grants. We know you're going to need all of that. And we control all of that. So, you know, you'll be calling. We won't be calling you, but you'll be calling us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's up? What's up, nigga? Don't worry about who the fuck this is. Just know that I know who you is now. Yeah, this Keisha husband. Yeah, nigga, pussy nigga. When I see you, I got to have you now. It's gonna be me and you, nigga. I'ma split that motherfucking wig, you hear me? The fuck you mean why I'm mad at you? How the fuck you helping me? You son of an ugly bitch, tell me how the fuck you helping me. Yeah, I remember our lives was off. You got them cut back on? Yeah, they were about to take her car that time. You paid the bill? Yeah, I see she be coming home every Friday with her hair and nail done. You know what, man? Hey, man. Hey, my dude. You a good nigga, dog. Look, I ain't have no motherfucking reason to call your phone, man. I don't know what the fuck just got into me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a little in my feelings, man, but I ain't have no business calling your motherfucking phone, man. You keep doing what you doing, man. Yeah, my bad, dog. My bad. Hey, look. All I'm saying is, man, she came home with a little mark in the face, man. Just don't hit her in the face no more. You know what I'm saying? Just dunk a car on that hoe. Hit her dead in the top of her motherfucking head, man. But yeah, man, hey, man, you have a nice day. My bad, bro. My bad, bro.
I'm saying, kid, it's only right to represent where I'm from. East Coast, bottom line. But I represent wherever I go. I be on the West Coast. We be getting high with the fellas who poop on the line. For me, lose, slick, and tie. Come on, every day, you know how we do. I'm trying to help the crew. But we be having mad fun. Fun? Niggas know me from day one now. And lifestyles of the rich and shameless. Niggas violating, they were.
Yo, Raph, bring me along.
Come along.
I know Spig got my back, freaky toss off the charm giver. Yeah. 1, 2 for my man, Pretty Lou, as I bless the rest of my New York City crew. As we continue to bring you the flame, representing LB from the cradle to the grave. Now, how's that? One time for your mind. But what I write down the line, give sight to the blind. I'm coming through with my clip. What you gon' do when shit gets thick? Is you gonna start your running and hiding? Is you gonna start your slip in the sky? Man, I thought you had this game in this match. Well, how do it feel for real niggas in your ass? Mr. Chief, freaky top. Pretty Lou, biggest big nice day. 1 for the money, 2 for the life. Off with this drunk call attack. Put me in, gave me the sign to react on. Whoever comes in my path to cut that ass a hat, make a feel of rap. Yeah, are there any volunteers down to lose their careers? Yo, we fears, no fear. Legal drugs coming through, that's the deal. Beyond 9-5, LB fam, keep it real. It's hard as cleats, walking on the fucking streets. 09 walk peace, and even my wife cheats. So I got to tally up and get it on. Work is on, shit is on. I must represent for my fam. Real niggas get rich, bitch niggas scram. To the day that I die, LB's. From the year 9-5 to 2G. 1 for the money, 2 for the night. 3 for my people's in the struggle getting by. 4, 2 swing nights and freaking die. Music makes me high. 1 for the money, 2 for the night. 3 for my people's in the struggle getting by. For my fam, 2 swing nights freaking die. Music makes me high.
To all my niggas doing biz. All of my shorties on their own raising kids. To all of my people who can't see that we made it.
niggas know the deal. Under real, this is rated. Put it to the left, who's the first one to get it? Be your mind and stay the shot when I hit it. Run up on niggas who be frontin' and shit. Hey yo, let's work the minds, get that jobs for my family. Nobody wants sin and nobody wants south. Smoking trees, hitting cheese, that's what we's all about. Gotta put it on them for the year, 9 pounds. I represent my town, show them how I get down. L-O-S-T to the B-O-I-Z. South Ozone, group on family. I'ma stay true to the day that I die. Going pretty loose, big, nice and freaky tie. Hey yo, one for the money, two for the night. For my people's in the struggle getting by. Four, you sling nice and freaky tie. Music makes me high. One for the money, two for the lie. Three for my people's in the struggle getting by. For my fam, you sling nice freaky tie. Music makes me high. One for the money, two for the lie. Three for my people's in the struggle getting by. Four, you sling nice and freaky tie. Music makes me high. One for the money.
Check one, two, we back from the break. And shoot, we're gonna go ahead and play this clip right here from Farrakhan's coon ass. Farrakhan be cooning. He be cooning hard, man. And we're gonna listen to his coonery right now. You ready? Go ahead, play some of that coon shit.
How do you feel about Ronald Reagan?
You know, I feel that Ronald Reagan is a blessing in disguise to black people.
Tell me how. Tell me.
Because Ronald Reagan is one of those winds that will get the dry bones in the valley together. If it were not for government rejection of handouts, blacks would still be looking to white people to do something for us.
That's his position.
Exactly.
And you agree with that?
I agree with that position.
So government.
I want to see black people do for themselves.
So all those food stamp programs, all those food stamp programs, all that Euclid stuff, all that New Deal, Great Society, Johnson, Bleeding Heart, liberal government handouts crippled black people.
Exactly. Exactly.
So did you vote for President Reagan in the last?
No,
you
I did should've. Not. I did not vote. You should have. I did not.
I feel
that the more Mr. Reagan continues these kinds of policies, the more black people will be forced to rely on themselves. It's one thing to say to America, you've been bad to us. All right. But it's another thing to also say on the other side, look at the blessings we've gotten out of America. We have gotten good education. We have $204 billion purchasing power, which we squander away in riotous living. We need to pull together all black leaders around the serious question of getting black folk to use the resources that we have gained in America to better ourselves. And if we did that, Mr. Donahue, the racist attitude of whites in the country would diminish because they would see black people for the first time in a self-respecting position.
And we'll be back.
Damn, man. I had no idea Farrakhan was cooning that hard, Tony.
What? Yeah.
God damn, man.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same shit that's going on right now, man. It's a situation where I see Trump, well, he would do the exact same
the
shit.
Exact same shit.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, anybody that would vote for him,
coon,
would be a coon. Mm-hmm. And anyone who would agree with him would be a coon. So I guess Malcolm would be a coon. I guess Farrakhan would be a coon. And of course, me and you, we are coons.
Coons. Yep.
Coon. Man, you motherfucking niggas. Ooh, you so-called pro-black niggas, man. Y'all niggas. Y'all need to do some fucking homework, man. For real. I'm trying to tell you. Well, check this out, man. Since we talking about Malcolm and Farrakhan or whatever, man, if you are ever in a position where you could be a figurehead or you could be a leader to lead black folks, would you do it?
No.
You wouldn't do it?
No. No, that would never happen.
You would never?
Well, yeah, that would never happen.
Okay, well, I guess, I mean, I probably already know the answer to this, but why?
Look. Look, man. Black people have this weird relationship with their leaders.
Right.
They hold their leaders up to standards that they cannot achieve. And then when the leader fails to achieve that impossible-ass standard, then it's time to crucify you. Mm-hmm. So they build you up just to have the purpose, just for the purpose of tearing you down.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And that was a book that came out. I don't know if you remember it. It was during the 90s. It was called The Head Nigga in Charge.
Okay.
It was a book, and the book talked about primarily how all the black leaders fit a particular profile.
Okay.
One, most of them came out of the church, mm-hmm, or had a strong Christian background. Then it also talked about how they were always devoted to, in order to appeal to black people, the concept of style over substance. Mm-hmm. That right there is going to throw me out.
Okay.
That right there. I'm, you know.
Shoot, you got too much substance, not enough style?
Not enough. I don't have enough swag.
No swag.
I don't have no swag.
No swag.
So okay. These cats got, you know, those positions of leadership, not that they weren't capable, but they had to overemphasize or over-accentuate this aesthetic of style in order to appeal to black people. And then what ended up happening to them. And then it was something interesting that they also pointed out, was that all these leaders could pass the brown paper bag test.
Okay.
Every single one of them was light-skinned, with the exception of Marcus Garvey.
Okay.
And it talked about how black people related to them, not only through the Christian religion, but how it related to them, how black people related to these leaders as people. They didn't relate to them as people. They related to them as gods. And then whenever the gods let them down in some sort of way, or went against them in some sort of way, they crucified them. Mm. Which is the same thing they're doing to Mr. Cosby.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So after seeing what, do you know, in the end, do you know, when Martin Luther King Jr. went to the Black it was the Black Baptist Church. He was speaking at the Black Baptist Church. William Pepper talks about this. He was speaking at the Black Baptist Church, and he spoke against the Vietnam War,
mm-hmm,
and it was the black ministers that passed a note and said, you better get him out of here, because we're, mm-hmm, going to take him and kill him if you don't. This is at the Black Baptist, the National Black Baptist Convention. If there's mm-hmm, any place he should be at home,
right,
it should be at the National Black Baptist Convention. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the Black Baptist preachers turned their back on him.
Mm-hmm.
His own friends were jealous of him. For example, everybody in the civil rights movement knew that most of those strategies and programs for those platforms, most of those strategies, King didn't come up with those strategies.
Mm-hmm.
King came up with maybe the ideas, but the man that actually made those ideas work was Ralph Abernathy.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knew that in those circles, there was a tremendous amount of jealousy,
mm-hmm,
towards Martin Luther King for one reason. Martin Luther King was a pussy magnet.
Okay.
Women flocked to him.
Okay.
Women, and he's in the Baptist church,
mm-hmm,
a matriarchal, predominantly women are drawn to him. A lot of his aides and lieutenants were jealous of him just for that fact. But they ain't looking at him. Well, I guess they're not giving as much weight to the fact that he's going to jail. Mm-hmm. He's been beaten. Mm-hmm. He's been stabbed.
Right.
His house has been bombed. They are jealous of him for the simple fact that the women are attracted to him.
Okay.
And so, as a result of that, there was a lot of enmity and jealousy against him, even in his own circle.
Mm-hmm.
So what you had was a bunch of damn ready-made traitors,
okay,
that were ready to turn their backs on him over pussy. This is the type of thing that happens when you're talking about black leadership.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the same thing, or you can see the same thing to a certain extent, of what happened in the Nation of Islam,
mm-hmm,
with the story of Evelyn. Evelyn was a woman who was in the streets with Malcolm during his hustling days.
Okay.
Malcolm had pulled her out of the streets, and he was supposed to marry her.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, when Malcolm pulled her out of the streets and he was supposed to marry her, for some reason, Malcolm backed out of the deal and wound up proposing and marrying Betty. When he announced his marriage in the mosque, Evelyn ran from the mosque screaming.
Mm.
a lot of the women in the mosque wanted Malcolm. They were vying for his attention. This inflamed the jealousies of the inner circle, and I believe to a certain extent Elijah Muhammad.
Okay.
Well, when this woman ran from the mosque screaming, Malcolm X said, well, he can't keep her in the mosque with him and his wife. And he made the fatal mistake of sending her to Chicago. He sent her to Chicago, and Elijah Muhammad had an affair with her and produced several children by her. That's the woman that he put out in the house to run those children.
Yeah.
And that's the woman who left the children on his doorstep and said, look, take care of your children. But the point here is that anytime you deal with black leadership, you have to deal with a lot of pettiness. You have to deal with a lot of silliness, because if there's anything that Umar Johnson got right, and that was the question of emasculation disorder. Because what it does is it prevents you from being able to let your balls hang, as they say. So if black people haven't had their opportunity, or if black men haven't had their opportunity to let their balls hang in the larger society, they got to let the balls hang somewhere. And that breeds infighting, that breeds jealousy, that breeds pettiness. The same thing with Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey's best friend was he was Agent P0037 for J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, really?
Herbert Boulin, the man who made the black dolls for him, was an FBI agent. And the FBI was a new organization at that time. And the man who was picked to head that agency was a young Justice Department lawyer by the name of John Edgar Hoover. And Garvey's best friend, who was Herbert Boulin, was an agent for.
So was FBI. He best friend of Garvey first?
Yeah.
And then he messed around and got recruited by J. Edgar?
They turned
him.
Man. Another guy. Joshua, I forget what his name was, the captain of the Black Star Line.
Okay.
He cut a side deal. When they were selling these ships were worth nothing. They weren't seaworthy. They weren't worth shit. He cut a deal with the white folks against Garvey to sell the ships at a price above what they were worth, and took a kickback off the purchase price.
Okay.
So when Garvey put these ships on the sea and they were malfunctioning, they were pieces of shit. The engines in these ships were bad, and he had overpaid for them. They were basically worthless.
Okay.
And so when he pretty much sabotaged the Black Star Line by getting Garvey to buy these ships. You see what I'm saying? And in the documentary, Look for Me in the Whirlwind, there's actually a Garvey aide confesses that Garvey actually told him that he was thinking about committing suicide because he was so lonely and so isolated. And then he had to deal with not only that in the infiltration of his organization, he had to deal with other black leaders who were critics, like A. Philip Randolph, like W.E.B. Du Bois, who he called a rabid muletto in need of a horse whipping. And then they were going and sabotaging. They were siding with the federal government to sabotage Marcus Garvey. So this is what you have to look forward to when you're dealing in black. They build you up just to destroy you. And when you say something again that they don't like, when you say something that's off message and you alienate them to a certain extent because you hurt their feelings, they will crucify you.
Bill Cosby.
You see what I'm saying? The same thing that is happening to Mr. Cosby is the same thing that has happened to black leaders since time. I mean, Nat Turner got sold out. Then Mark Vesey and Gabriel Prosser got sold out. So like I told you before, the charismatic leader doesn't work anymore. That model doesn't work anymore. Either you will work together for your own salvation, or fuck it. We'll just be ratchet hoes for all eternity.
And you know, and that is ratchet hoe behavior, because you know, just how we talk about how you can do 99 things good for a bitch. One time you say no, or the one time you chastise them for ratchet behavior, you know what I mean? Then all of a sudden they act like you ain't never did jack shit for them. Yep. That's the same thing that niggas do as a collective when they turn on their leaders, man. Even biblically, man. You know, you can see what happened to, you know, Jesus the Christ. You know what I'm saying? It's like I said, they wanted to let the criminal go. They wanted to let Barabbas go. you know, and
give us the ratchet and kill the righteous man.
Kill the righteous man, or Moses in the desert. You know, he went back and got his people out of Egypt. You know, they was out in the desert or out in the wilderness roaming. You know, and then the people turned on him like, hey, what the fuck gives, man? You know what I'm saying? But they ain't give him no cool points for coming back, you know, putting his life on the line, trying to get him up out of Egypt. They like, man, fuck this nigga, man. We out here hungry. We out here thirsty. You know what I'm saying? Niggas don't give two fucks about what the hell you did last week, last month, last year. You know, if you ain't catering to their needs right here, right now, you know, fuck you. Yeah, some ratchet behavior.
That happened with God. He delivered you from Pharaoh.
Exactly.
And then what? With the first opportunity when Moses left, what they did, they put up
the golden calf,
the goddess Hathor.
Right.
They put that image right back up, and they started. They forgot about all that he delivered them from, and now you know we ain't seen this nigga. We don't know this dude you talking about. Right. Fuck all that shit. Put that calf back up. Let's eat, drink, and be merry.
So, man, as far as leadership is concerned, man, that's something that me and my boy Tony, we ain't signing up for that shit. I mean, we leaders in our own right, you know what I mean, in our own little circle, you know, we doing our thing. But, man, as far as propping us up on a public square or some shit like that, you know, we know it don't pay. It don't pay. I'm like, fuck that, man. I'm good on that shit.
Well, and then look at what happens is, after the leaders get knocked off, the people aren't even focused enough to remember what the leader said. The message gets distorted by the status quo to the point where you got people walking around here actually believing, actually calling Malcolm X a misogynist. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Actually calling people like Malcolm X a misogynist. And that is absolutely ridiculous. But that's what you have. You have people walking around here. And while we're on this concept of leaders, I want to go on record and say I changed my opinion of Jesse Jackson.
Okay.
Because here's why. Niggas are also narrow-minded.
Right.
And here's why. We get mad at Jesse Jackson for making a buck. Don't you want your principles to feed you? Should your principles feed you?
Exactly.
Shouldn't you prosper from your principles?
Exactly.
Back in our younger years, we called him a sellout because, okay, maybe he may have gotten something here. Look, that man went out there in them streets. Whatever you want to think about him, whatever you want to say about him, he went out there in them streets. I'm not exactly a fan of Al Sharpton, but Al Sharpton has the right to get as much money as MSNBC is going to pay him.
Right.
Because I remember when them Italians stabbed him in Howard Beach. I remember when Koch had him arrested.
Right.
You know, I remember all of that. So he has the right, just like anybody else, to get his... Your principles should feed you. You can prosper from your principles. And another thing, people said, well, this is one thing that I didn't exactly agree with Tommy Sotomayor about. He said, well, Tariq Nasheed doesn't live in the hood. Well, neither does Louis Farrakhan.
Right.
Louis Farrakhan don't live in a housing project.
Right.
Elijah Muhammad didn't live in a housing project. He lived in that Chicago and those Arizona neighborhoods next to them white, well-to-do Jews and Anglo-Saxons. Hell, Malcolm didn't live in a black neighborhood, quiet as his cat.
Okay.
Malcolm lived in a lower middle income or working class, middle class, Jewish community. The house that was purchased for him to live in, the Nation of Islam purchased that house. That house wasn't in them tenements in Harlem.
Right.
He didn't stay in the Polo Grounds. He didn't stay between Broadway and Amsterdam. He didn't stay near 7th Avenue. He stayed in East Elmhurst in Queens. Although Harlem was his political base and he was his stomping ground during his early years, Malcolm X didn't live in Harlem.
Right.
To the day he died, he was in East Elmhurst in Queens. And then when his house got burned down, Poitier, what's the other guy? Ossie Davis, Poitier, and all the Ruby Dee and all the rest of them took up a collection to put him in another middle income neighborhood. You see what I'm saying? So just because a leader lives somewhere, that isn't necessarily an indicator of his commitment. But black people want to hold you to this standard mm-hmm. that they can't live up to.
Okay.
And I think it was Huey Newton, he said it excellent. He said the leader, he said it excellently. He said the leader is everything that the people want to be and everything that the people can never be. Mm-hmm. He said, but when the leader fails, because he's going to fail, because he's just a flesh and blood human being, then it's just a matter of content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go back to my prison experience, man. You know, I'm ahead of a block. I got about 300 inmates in there, and I'm putting my neck on the line. Now I'm stopping racist rednecks from coming in, planting dope, planting weapons, all kinds of shit, man. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, these brothers, they going to appreciate my efforts.
Nope.
I'm like, man, these brothers, man, they going to appreciate what the fuck I'm doing for them. Man, I'm doing all sorts of shit, man. I'm taking time off. You know, it's like you do your eight and hit the gate. A lot of times I would stay after work, and I would head the Afrocentric studies shit that would go down in the you know, the education department.
Getting investigated by the administration in the process.
Yeah, you know, it's like, man, we need a security officer to take time out of his day to go down and supervise the Afrocentric studies. I'm like, I do that. You know what I'm saying? I did it. Guess what, man? It's like the first chance these niggas get, man, they mad because I can't, you know, stroke and pat every nigga on the head at the same time in the block. You know what I mean? It's like, if this one cat over here, he want to go to his partner's cell and he want to, like, make a break, or if he want to trade some shit, okay, you know, you can do it one or two at a time, but you all can't do it at the same time. Mm-hmm. So niggas get mad because they get excluded a particular day. And I say, no, you can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait your turn. Tomorrow you can do it, maybe, but I can't have everybody running. So it's like, damn, niggas is snitching on me, niggas is riding kites, niggas is trying to get me about the block. I'm like, y'all did all this whining and bitching about it. You want more black COs.
But they ain't do that to Jeff Webb, did they?
No, they ain't do that to Jeff Webb, no. Because I was on second shift.
That's a nigga shift. That's a motherfucker that beating their ass.
That's one beating their ass. We had two super duper racist cats that was working on first shift, man. They ain't let them move at all, man. They ain't move at all. But when me and my partner, my boy DJ, we would get in there, them niggas would try and run all over the place. It was in racist white COs left, man. You know, and we understood what it was, a second shift of being cooped up all day. We're going to, you know, let them breathe a little bit and shit. But once again, you know how it is. You give, you know, you let a nigga skate a little bit. You know what's
slide? He want to ice skate.
Yeah, you let him slide. They want to ice skate all over the place and shit. So they taking out all the venom and vigor on us, the black COs. You know what I mean? They ain't saying shit to the white boys, the white COs, and then they trying to get me. So it's like, damn,
you boot licking ass nigga.
I couldn't believe it. It was a big education, man, and just psychology, groupthink, mob mentality and shit, man. It was just like, no matter what you do for these niggas, man, it was never enough.
Never enough.
It was never enough. And I would put my neck repeatedly on the chopping block to help these niggas, man. And I already told you, niggas were throwing piss on me and shit. I'm like,
Want to sell dope?
Yeah, I want to sell dope and shit. You know, and I'm assuming the mantle of leader in the block because, like I said, when I first joined up, I was one of them pro-black niggas. Mm-hmm. I was super pro-black. I'm like, I'm going to help my peoples. Mm-hmm. I'm going to help my brothers. Mm-hmm. I get in there, man, it totally, irrevocably changed my position on that looking at somebody's skin, calling them brother shit. I'm like, yeah, right, okay. So, yeah, the whole concept of leadership, man, I would never, ever put myself in a position to try and lead some niggas, man. Fuck that shit. I'm good on that. And also, I'd like for you to expound on something. Because, niggas don't seem to understand the concept of the whole black-on-black crime thing, man. It's like when the whole cop thing comes up and a cop kill a nigga and shit, and then me and you talk about, well, you know, we fucking with the mathematics of it, man, and, you know, we trying to figure out what is more detrimental to us as a race. Is it the situation that's going on with the cops killing a motherfucker here and there, or would it be the black-on-black crime shit with the 12% of us being in the population? What is more detrimental to us as a whole? What will kill us off faster Would it be the cop situation or the black on black crime situation?
There's no question black on black crime. Matter of fact, they used to say that back during the 90s.
Right.
They said, we have exceeded the Klan murders.
Right.
We have exceeded the rate at which Klan murdered black people.
Right.
This was back during the gang violence of the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
They said, you have been more successful at doing what the Ku Klux Klan could never do.
Right.
So I do think black on black crime is unimportant because the community, that means the community is not organized. You can't attack an enemy with a disorganized rabble.
Right.
It can't work. If you have a sector of your community, if you have a sector of your community engaged in anti-communal, anti-social, self-destructive behavior, you will never defeat white supremacy. I don't care. You can have hidden colors 105.
Right.
If your community is not organized and if there's no system of accountability in your community, you will never be white supremacy. Mm. If you don't find a way to deal with black on black crime, and that includes, and they give the drug dealers a pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It wasn't, during the 60s, it wasn't speaking of black leadership and black on black crime. Speaking of black leadership and black on black crime, it was not Carl Rowan or Ralph Bunche,
right,
that destroyed the black liberation movement. It was not A. Philip Randolph or James Farmer or Roy Wilkins or anybody that the pro-black niggas call Uncle Tom's or sellouts. It wasn't them. It was when they flooded the black community with cheap heroin.
Mm-hmm.
A. Philip Randolph didn't do that.
Right.
You know, Roy Wilkins didn't do that. Ralph Bunche didn't do that.
Okay.
James Farmer didn't do that. Frank Lucas did that.
Right.
Nicky Barnes did that, you see. And what's the other man in Baltimore? Melvin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
All your black street icons were used by the system to destabilize movements and kill off leaders to your own detriment. Mm. So don't talk to me about white supremacy until you tell me how we gonna deal with this inner self-destructive sector of the community. Mm. What is it Kumo D said? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they would be coons too, right?
Of course, man, of course. And you know, it's like I was looking at some YouTube videos, and I was looking at some dudes that did like 30 years in prison out in California, and they base of operations was Watts, you know what I'm saying? They was gangsters and into all sorts of shit, and they did 30 years, and then they got back out 30 years later, and they was like, damn, there ain't no black people. It's like, damn, it's like mostly Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, 80% Hispanic when, you know, when they went in prison. You know, it was like all black people, but now it's all
their neighborhoods.
Yeah, it's like, damn. So when we looking at the black on black crime and the drug epidemic and all that shit, man, and then you got niggas whining and bitching about, you know, a couple dudes getting shot by the police. It's like, man, the whole concept of you motherfuckers killing each other out here in the streets, that was far more detrimental by far.
It was.
And then you have the steady influx of so-called Hispanics coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's basically the general process that's going on all over America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the high abortion rates that's going on, of course, and the drug dependencies and the niggas killing each other like day after day after day. You know, these are the main things that really people should be looking at and not getting all riled up over one nigga that got popped that was doing dumb shit. I could see if it was some shit that, like call me once a doctor or a lawyer, you know what I mean, get popped or some shit. You know what I mean? Not no nigga that's out running around doing dumb shit, man. I ain't about to waste my energy on that shit, man.
Black on black crime is not a deflection.
Right.
Black on black crime serves the same interest. And here's where I think they're short-sighted.
Right.
White supremacy is about a dead black body.
Right.
Black on black crime is about a dead black body.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you can clearly see, and they've come, it's not like you don't know now. The movie Kill the Messenger, the American Gangster movie, they're telling you, these guys are pretty much telling you, that they were in league with the United States government, maybe unknowingly or unwillingly, to destabilize your community. So now you know that drugs is being used to destabilize your community. So why would you not include them as agents of white supremacy? No, because they're your homeboys.
Right.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You want to make exception for your family and your homeboys. Well, think about this. The white man killed his own brother to save the Union.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Right.
The white man killed his own brother, in some cases killed his own father or son,
mm-hmm.
to keep this country together. But yet you're unwilling to call out the very people that make the quality of your life self-destructive. You're unwilling to call out the very people that destroy the quality of life in the black community because they're your homeboys, but you'll call out somebody else to say something you don't like that, okay, you said, well, they're doing it for white folks, they're doing it for money. Last I checked, the average drug dealer was doing this shit for money.
Right.
Last I checked, the average hustler is doing this shit for money. So I don't really see a difference. I think that they serve the interests of white supremacy. You just want to pick on one because you perceive one to be weaker than the other.
Mm.
That's another thing, too. See, it's easier to talk about bodying Charles Barkley
mm-hmm.
than it is to talk about criticizing or bodying Louis Farrakhan.
Right.
Because you know why? That would be Charles Barkley would be the last person you body. Mm. Because if you set on Louis Farrakhan, they're going to lay your ass down and you ain't getting up.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's just that they're just picking the weakest ones. It's just the same thing that they accused in hip-hop.
Birdman?
Not Birdman. Well, Birdman, that shit he did, that was stupid.
I was just saying, that's what he did to Charlamagne.
That's what he did. He went and jumped on the radio guy.
Right.
when the boy punched Q-Tip in the eye. And he lost his vision. You don't remember that?
I remember that.
Back during, you remember Rex and Effects Rump Shaker?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, they had a beef with Tribe Called Quest.
Okay.
And so what happened was, I think they got mad over a line that Fife said, the late Fife Dawg, rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Strictly hardcore tracks, not a New Jack Swing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Rex and Effects was champion of that New Jack Swing shit, which was, that shit was tight. I like that shit.
Mm-hmm.
They ran up on Q-Tip and punched him in the face, and they hit him so hard he lost vision in one of his eyes.
Damn.
And so what happened was they said, well, they said, okay, you niggas hit A Tribe Called Quest, but you ain't hit Ice Cube when he said, you can New Jack Swing on my nuts.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? You didn't fuck with the lynch mob because you knew if you fuck with a lynch mob, you had the possibility of an ass whooping coming.
Mm-hmm.
But you fuck with these cats because you feel that, you know, they're softer, they're easy Vic, they're a nice pig. We can get shit off on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what a lot of that coon shit is, and that that venom towards anybody that mentions black on black crime.
Mm-hmm.
Because they view those people to be, okay, these are the easy ones, these are the soft Vicks, these are the ones that we can make an example out of.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So black on black crime is more detrimental to me than white supremacy, because black on black crime serves the interests of white supremacy.
And you basically gave like a percentage out. You was basically saying, you know, we're 12% of the population,
mm-hmm.
and our murder rate is, I don't know, what was it, like three times as high?
Three times as high. Our incarceration rate, we're over 50%.
Well,
you think a community that only constitutes 12% of the population, over 50% of mass incarceration.
Right.
You see, and then what, 36 to 40% of all the murders.
Mm-hmm.
You think they can sustain a community of black-on-black violence?
They obviously can't, because, like I said, I was listening to these cats, man, that just came out the institution over in California, and there was, like, whole communities that used to be all black.
Are gone.
They're gone.
That, you know what I mean? It brings, once again, the lie.
Right.
We don't die, we multiply. Bullshit.
Right.
Niggas die, and they die in record numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fall for the super nigga shit. Niggas die every day, all day. And that's what it is. Don't fall for the we die, we multiply. No. If you're not careful, you will decrease our population levels down to 6 or 7% behind this black-on-black crime shit. That is, in a sense, or that is directed by white supremacy. So there's no distinction between the two. You just don't want to give it up because them your niggas out there, you don't want to cross your niggas. But if the white man will kill his brother, what is that saying you're going to have to do to your homeboy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap this on up, man. Shit, we're talking about the Trump shit. We're talking about the leadership and black leadership. And, I don't know, man. You got any last things you want to talk about was pertaining to Trump, man?
Trump for president, nigga.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, boy. Yeah, man, these niggas got all emotional, man. I heard one motherfucker hit me up with an email. It was like, man, you tripping now, man. You tripping on the Trump. Like, look, man. You can't handle some real shit, man. You can't be listening to my shit.
Let me ask y'all a question.
Mm-hmm.
What president has really... And I ain't talking about dancing or doing the nay-nay.
Right.
I ain't talking about playing a fucking saxophone.
Right.
I ain't talking about admitting to smoking no weed. I ain't talking about getting his dick sucked in the White House.
Right.
Actually, that's one of the more laudable characteristics. What president has actually did anything for black people?
None.
Name one.
Except if they want to start, you know, with that fucking New Deal, Roosevelt shit, or, you know, with the, you know, getting niggas dependent on handouts, you know, niggas would probably, you know, use that. But other than that, shit, and you can't really use that because we know what
Roosevelt wasn't saving. Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Roosevelt wasn't saving black people.
Right.
Roosevelt was saving the country and capitalism.
Right.
Matter of fact, most academic intellectuals, most people in the so-called White Tower,
mm-hmm.
colleges or Ivy League universities will tell you, Roosevelt didn't save black people. He didn't mm-hmm. save America. He saved right. capitalism.
Okay.
That economic program, it wasn't even his economic program. It was a British economist by the name of John Maynard Keynes
mm-hmm.
that came up with that. He said, look, if you don't spend money on these WPA programs, if you don't spend money on social infrastructure and put people to work doing, rebuilding their communities, you're going to have revolution.
Okay.
If you don't spend this money, you will not have a country.
Okay.
That was the main point behind the New Deal. That was the main, it's called, matter of fact, it's not even called, people that know better call it Keynesian economics. That's actually what it's called. Mm-hmm. And what it means is this. In bad economic times, you do what's called fiscal policy. Fiscal policy just means government spending.
Okay.
You put people to work working for the government. And by the way, you nonprofit hoes, if Trump get elected, you in danger too because you out the door. Anyway, anyway, anytime you have bad economic times, you use fiscal policy. In other words, government spending on the infrastructure to employ people so they can have enough money to buy shit so the economy can keep going. That's what happens in bad economic times. You use fiscal policy because fiscal policy staves off revolt. So he didn't save black people. He saved capitalism. He saved the country. You see, and as far as Johnson came up with that, with those, Great Society programs.
Right.
Hell, he spent most of the money in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. He just came up with programs to say, okay, kick the man out the house. Don't get that nigga out your house, bitch. You can't have that nigga living there if you want these benefits. And then the money that they gave you, the government didn't even administer it. It was poorly administrated.
Mm-hmm.
It was given through these various state agencies. Most of them stole the resources and the money that was supposed to go into those programs. And then he stole the rest and went to Vietnam. So you're here with this destabilized community. You know, you ain't allowed to have a man in the house. You're dependent on government assistance. And now you got generation upon generation of your children that are now in the prison industrial complex. Thank you, Democrats.
Mm. Well, it looks like we have learned that Malcolm and Farrakhan are coons. And, of course, you know, we've always known that me and you are coons.
Yeah, we've always known that.
Yeah, we've always been on that.
No surprise. We've always been coons.
Yeah, well, anyway, I thank my partners, man, for tuning on in. Once again, appreciate y'all's support. And also remember, you can catch this show on YouTube, Max City Limits on YouTube, also on iTunes, Stitcher. And what else? Yeah, on Liberated Syndicate. You know, I'm going to be jumping all over the place. You know what I mean? So, once again, players, man. Appreciate y'all support. And we out.
I'm Donnell Rawlins. Every day, there's a bitch out there that needs help. She used to be out in the club. She would dance and people would make it rain. But now they don't make it rain anymore. But if you call right now, 1-800-SAVE-A-BITCH, you can help get her off the street. for just $18 a month, 60 cents a day. You can help a nice bitch like this buy Magnum condoms, Gucci bags, and Jimmy Choo Choo shoes. But it takes you. Will you be an angel? Call the number right now. 1-800-SAVE-IT-BITCH. And if you call right now, we'll throw in a Take It in the Face t-shirt along with a commemorative Take It in the Face bracelet. Be that one that helps this bitch get off the street. Your donation means there's someone out there that cares. Nigga, I'm making a sad commercial, man. I'll call you right back. I'm trying to save these bitches. I'll call you back, son. Call the number. Right now. 1-800-SAVE-IT-BITCH. Call. Will you be an angel?
Needs to pay for all my children and mine and Gary, all our suffering, all our pain. Somebody needs to be held accountable and they need to pay.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Madam.
He's paying the most money. And he's tricking. And I've even said it, he's a smart trick. Smart trick. Smart
trick. Hey! One gun, two gun, three gun, four. Your mind is all about crime. On X!
It's time to get live, live.
know what I'm saying? He's going out there, he's paying them hoes, and he's getting residuals back off the hoes pussy when he puts them up on the internet. On the internet. On the internet.